And you've made it a hangout for thieves. And now there was room for the blind and the crippled to get in. And they came to Jesus and he healed them. When the religious leaders saw the outrageous things he was doing and heard all the children running and shouting through the temple, "Hosanna to David's son," they were up in arms and took him to task. "Do you hear what these children are saying?" Jesus said, "Yes, I hear them. And haven't you read in God's word? From the mouths of children and babes, I'll furnish a place of praise." Fed up, Jesus turned on his heel and left the city for Bethany, where he spent the night. Jesus enters Jerusalem and he shakes the city. He's fulfilling the prophecy of Zechariah. "Rejoice, O people of Zion. Shout in triumph, O people of Jerusalem. Look, your king is coming to you. He is righteous and victorious, yet he is humble, riding on a donkey, riding on a donkey's colt." It would take too much time this morning for me to read the entire section of Zechariah that verse is being quoted out of. But let me just tell you, you can back up Zechariah 9 and you can read it. This humble king is doing more for the world than for Jerusalem. This is not just the king of a local place. This is the global king. This is the biggest day that we know of in history today. This humble king entered. And when he entered, he destroyed all weapons used in battle. So he's actually a victorious king who never fired a shot. He's not only bringing peace to individuals, he is bringing peace to the earth. And it's not just peace that's supposed to be in eternity future, it's peace that's meant to begin now. This is the humble king, disarming the nations, bringing peace to the earth between the nations. And he extends his realm to the entire globe. Again, this is not just a local king. This is not just Israel's king. This is the king of the planet. This is the king of the whole globe, and this is his parade. He's entering this day, and the people that are shouting acclamations are shouting, "Save us, O God." That's what Hosanna means. "Save us, O God. Save us from ourselves. Save us from our wars. Save us from our selfishness. Save us from religion. You are the king of all. You are the Lord of lords. We welcome you." That's the parade that welcomed this humble king. He entered in peace, victorious. He's victorious through peace. And he not only shook the city by entering, he also cleared out the temple. And there's two prophecies being fulfilled there. One out of Jeremiah. "Don't be fooled into thinking that you'll never suffer because the temple is here. It's a lie. Do you really think you can steal and murder and commit adultery, lie and burn incense to Baal and all those other new gods of yours and then come here and stand before me in my temple and chant, 'We are safe, we are safe,' only to go right back to those evil things again? Don't you yourselves admit that this temple, which bears my name, has become a den of thieves?" Then out of Isaiah, "Don't let foreigners who commit themselves to the Lord say, 'The Lord will never let me be a part of this people.' I bless the foreigners who commit themselves to the Lord, who serve Him and love His name, who worship Him. I accept their burnt offerings and sacrifices because my temple will be called a house of prayer for all nations." This righteous king sets things right at the temple. He drives out the thieves. He drives out those that are coming to take advantage of people by selling wares, by selling offerings, by selling trinkets, by by really taking advantage of people and turning their faith into something that makes them profit. He drives out the thieves, and he welcomes the foreigners into that worship. And again, the foreigners are not intended to be just those that are blind and those that are lame, those that were considered outsiders. He's really broadening worship to the nations. I want this temple, which happens to be in Jerusalem, I want it to be for the whole world. Because this temple represents not really a place, it's about God and man being in relationship with each other. And I'm not just interested in Israelis being in relationship with God. I want Israelis and everybody else on the planet. So get rid of the robbers. Let everybody come in. The righteous king welcoming everybody, all foreigners, into worship. This house is to be a house of prayer for the nations. Not just one nation, the nations, every nation. This righteous king. So really what we come down to on this day, in this parade, we have a king and his kingdom. And they confront and they correct governments and religion. Government and religion share two things in common. They are both self-centered, and they're both self-serving. And Jesus is the opposite. And the kingdom that he represents is the opposite. The kingdom of God is other-centered. The kingdom of God is sacrificial serving of others. So when Jesus, this humble and righteous king, rides into Jerusalem, he is confronting and correcting the government of Rome and the government of the Herodian dynasty and the government of what was modern day or the historical Israel. He's confronting and correcting those governments. But don't think that he stops there. And don't think that he's not still doing that today. Because Jesus introduced something that is global. And so there is not a government on the planet today, including our own, that doesn't need to be confronted and corrected by this humble and righteous king. We ought to be grateful for the government that we have. We ought to be grateful for the heritage of our government. But we ought to also know that Jesus confronts and corrects our government, just like every other government. Because he's bringing every government on the planet to submission to the one. There is going to be one government. Hello? It's his government. We want every government to be submitted to his government. We want there to be one ruler over all, Jesus Christ. In his dignity and his power, ruling over our world. That's what we want. That's where we're headed. We might as well get used to the fact and live that way now. And then with religion, in Jesus' day, it was Judaism. And Judaism had become very self-centered and very self-serving. Judaism became a clique. Jews serving Jews. Jews taking care of themselves. Without a mindset for the nations. If you back up and read what God intended, God always intended to reach the nations. He never meant for the faith that he entrusted to Moses to be this cliquish thing for one nation. He always intended for the nations to be impacted by who he was and the way that he wants people to live. But in Jesus' day, I mean, it was very self-serving. It was very self-centered, even to the fact that they didn't recognize the anointed one, the one that was supposed to come. I mean, even put him to death in their self-centeredness and their self-serving. He was a threat. So there is not a religion on the planet, whether it's in the past, like Judaism, or it's in the present. Christianity, I don't consider Christianity to be a religion, but unfortunately, it is considered a world religion. And we all ought to know that Jesus, he's going to confront and correct Christendom, just like he's going to confront and correct Islam, just like he's going to confront and correct Judaism. Nobody's excluded from that. Every religion on the planet is going to be confronted to be corrected by this humble and righteous king. That's why you and I are very, very important. Because we get to join the parade. We all get to do certain things that demonstrate to others that we actually believe Jesus is the King of all kings and that his kingdom is meant to rule over all. One is that we get to live in peace with everyone. And as far as it depends upon us, we need to make peace. We are the peacemakers of the planet. And it starts with us sitting in this room. We all can get sideways with each other. We all can get irritated. We all can get offended. We all can get our feelings hurt. I mean, all of that happens. That's human. It happens. But Jesus has given us the ability to make peace with one another. Jesus has given us the ability to reconcile our differences. And there's not a difference that cannot be reconciled. Every difference we have can be reconciled. So we, as God's people on the planet, participating in his kingdom, first and foremost, we need to be peacemakers. So if there's anybody in this room or anybody that sometimes is in this room and you're not at peace with that person, this is a week to make peace with that person. That's how we participate in continuing the parade that's changing our planet. Make peace. Second suggestion is to find a world peace organization that you can support and sign up. Now, I hope that kind of rattles your chain. It's really not as difficult as you might think. But many of us raised in the conservative South, many of us raised in the conservative evangelical church would think that's anathema. Are you kidding me? You want me to sign up for the World Peace Movement? No, I'm not asking you to sign up with the World Peace Movement. I'm asking you to find one that you can sign up with. Do you think that every world peace organization on the planet is committed to a one world government? No. I mean, don't we need to exercise some discernment? I mean, don't we have some discernment? I mean, doesn't the Spirit of God live us in? I mean, don't we have a standard? Don't be duped. Jesus is the righteous and humble King who brought peace to our planet. We are to be peacemakers. We're to live in peace with God. We're to live in peace with each other. And we need to sign up to be at work making peace in our world. Now, to make it real easy for you and for me, we can support Steve and Mary Ann. Read their website. Why do they do what they're doing? What is Hope Ventures all about? It's promoting peace through economic development in conflict areas. You see, it's real easy for people in conflict areas to be recruited to do really stupid things in hopes of providing for their family. And so when those that serve this righteous and humble king say, you know, I'd rather people know that there's a God in heaven that loves them, and there's a God in heaven that provides for people, and there's a God that takes up the cause of the underdog, I'd rather them know that God, and I'd rather them develop economically in places of conflict so that there would be peace. So if you don't want to research any other world peace movement, just read Hope Ventures' website. And then there's a little donate button on it. donate something. Make it a dollar. I don't care. But we have got to do something on our planet. And if we don't do it, it's not going to happen. Not in the real way. Not in the way that it started on this day that we're celebrating. A humble and a righteous king declared peace. Victoriously entered Jerusalem, peace on earth. Peace between the nations. Now there's rumblings among the nations. There's rumblings across the Arabic world. It's a novel idea, isn't it? You know, I'm really glad that some of the rhetoric of today didn't exist in the 1840s when my family immigrated from Norway. I mean, who are we as a people? Who are we? Again, this is not political. This is a kingdom value. The kingdom of God is made up of foreigners. So find an Indian restaurant. Go enjoy the cuisine. Watch out for the curry and the spices. And make friends with the family that's running it. Susan and I, when we were in Golden, Colorado, went to a Nepalese restaurant. Or was it Tibetan? It was Nepal. Yeah, a Sherpa. He had led, I don't know how many trips up Mount Everest, decided, okay, I'm not going to do that anymore. I'm risking my life every time I go with these crazy people with all this money that I'm taking to the top. So I'm going to open up a restaurant that's safer in Golden, Colorado. And the whole place, the restaurant was set up like a home in Nepal. I mean, and there was even one, the room that was next to us had the shrine to Buddha. That really didn't threaten me. I mean, the more you know Jesus, the more, you know, that doesn't threaten me. Makes me curious about what he believes. I don't think there was anything in the food, and it was the best chai I've ever drinking. And I don't think I caught something. Go meet a foreigner. Go make friends with a foreigner. You know, as Jesus confronted and corrected his nation, you know, we ended that passage, the crowd is saying, "This is the prophet of God from Galilee." My friends, we are to be a prophetic people. Prophetic people encourage their nation to be at its best. The rhetoric about the foreigner on our land right now is not our best. It does not represent the kingdom of God. We have a choice. Are we going to represent the kingdom of God, or are we going to represent our own self-serving, self-centered nation? Again, I'm not running for office. I'm not asking you to vote for anybody. These are not political statements. It's all about how we understand the kingdom of God, the righteous and the humble king who's brought change to our planet, and we represent that change. We are not the status quo. We live on the edge with kingdom value, with kingdom dignity, with kingdom power. And this parade that we're celebrating today is meant to be a parade that continues. Our city needs to be shaken. Our city, as wonderful as it is in this season, needs to be shaken. It needs to be confronted and challenged to be its best as a kingdom community. We need to represent that kingdom. Our faith needs to be, like our temple needs to be cleaned out. That's one of the reasons I'm doing what I'm doing today. Because some of the things that I've mentioned today are the gods that we have in our temple, and they're idols. And they need to go. And we need to help each other. Again, please hear me. I am very grateful for the heritage of our nation. I just don't believe we're living well on that heritage today. We don't want our nation to be an idol in our heart. We want Jesus to be Jesus in the center of our lives. So sometimes our temple has to be cleaned. And if we're not going to do it, He's going to do it. My friends, if we remember anything about this day, it is that Jesus confronts and corrects self-centeredness and self-serving individuals. If you would, please stand with me. We want this community to be a safe place. We want this community to be a place where we can come and we can come together and speak truth with each other. We can come together and we can drop our guard and we don't have to pretend. We can be ourselves. We want this to be a safe place for our kids. We want our kids to see Jesus in us and how we react and respond to each other. We want them to have a good faith experience. We don't want them to turn away from the church someday because of the people that represented Jesus. We want this to be a safe place. But just as our forefathers in the faith somehow believed that they could live whatever way they wanted to live, show up in a building and say, "We're safe. We're safe." Are we safe? The righteous and the humble king that we're celebrating today really does demand from us to live our lives well, to represent his kingdom, not just today in this place, but tomorrow and the next day and the next day, in our homes, in our classroom, in our business, in every affair of our life. We can't just come together, feel like we're safe, and then go live the way we want to live. We need to go live the way of the Savior. We need to go live the way of the Lord, the King. That's what we're committed to. So the only way to be safe as we gather together is to live consistently with the values of Jesus and His kingdom. So we want to pray to that end as we end our time together. Jesus, I want to thank you that you started this parade. I want to thank you that you started a parade that impacts the whole globe. I want to thank you that the parade that you started comes to this day. It comes and rushes in upon us today, that you remain the humble and the righteous King, that what you introduced to bless the nations on that day in the past continues here. Thank you that different nations are represented in this room and that you're blessing the nations. And thank you, O Jesus, that you want us to have a faith and you want us to have a government that is free from self-centeredness and self-serving. Thank you that your kingdom has come. And thank you that that service is centered on others, and that the service is sacrificial. I'd ask you, Lord, to impart to us today a love of your parade, that we love a parade. We love that you have marched through history leading this parade in humility and righteousness. I pray that we would be a community that represents you, your humility, and your righteousness well. That we would be a community that represents your kingdom well. That, Lord, we would be a community that would be available for correction that we would be a community that is able, Lord, when needed, to confront and correct those things around us that are wrong. So we welcome you, Holy Spirit, just as Jesus cleaned out the temple on this day. Clean our temple out. May we become a house of prayer for the nations. May we become a holy place where there are no idols, where there are no secret sins, where you alone are God, and where we are faithful to you. Let us be that temple. Lord, as we go into this week, we ask you to shake our world. As Jerusalem was shaken by your entrance, let our world be shaken. Shake us so that we come to recognize that you and only you provide the peace that we desire. Empower us, Lord, to be your people. Lord, let your kingdom come. Let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So this morning, before you go, you may want to hang out and visit with friends. You may want to get some more coffee and snacks. Please eat it up. Drink it all. You may want to talk to me. I may have said something that stepped on your toes, or, you know, you may want clarification. So I'm going to stand in the corner. I could be in trouble today. That's okay. I'll turn the microphone off, and we can visit. You can ask me anything. Sometimes people say, you know, preaching is not fair. You could say everything you want to say, and I don't get to. Well, you can. This is your opportunity. You can have me. You can have at me. That's fine. I'm here to listen. So God bless you, and God bless this season that we're in. Amen.